Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Tonight, audience, we have a special guest. It's Randy Moggins from the Threshing Floor. And we will be going over the history of the Threshing Floor up to the current events of the day.
Randy, do you want to talk about the beginnings of the third day?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, there never was premeditatedly a beginning. We did the study out of John on the water and wine and started to see a pattern. Pardon me. Started to see a pattern with the third day, and this was back at the time that Sue was just breaking out the 144,000 in the multitude study. And we loosely just kind of teamed up to do some shows off and on. We were on shortwave at the time. And in an interesting period, it was actually Sue had just come off of doing the plumb line study. And pardon me, my voice is a little tingly. And I had just done a series on the gifts of the Spirit. And so we kind of teamed up on this, and it began to just kind of take on a life of its own. We started to see the patterns, and pretty soon the third day just, it became, in modern parlance, it became the meme that we were kind of operating under, and we started to see more and more, and it was like, boom, you know, the whole prophetic carpet was pulled out from under us. We just started seeing all these patterns, and this was the formation of the metaphoric language.
You want to talk about that tonight?
If you want to ask me some questions, yeah, absolutely. I'm not real good at the chronology anymore. It's been
Six, seven years.
And it's, you know, in my mind, so much water has gone over the dam in the years since that I'm the worst chronicler of my own history, frankly, which may be good. The other thing that you got to bear in mind, too, is that we were very much into the Lord's calendar at that point. And, listeners turn over. A lot of people don't remember that day. A lot of what was being done in those days was coming out of what was going on Christian media's Yahoo group, CMN Folks. And Sue and I and several of the other people there and another host who has long since departed had been kicking the 144,000 around for a couple of years and trying to figure out exactly what this thing was, because we knew it wasn't Jewish male virgins. We had already, we were way past that at that point. So it was like trying to figure out the tribes and where we fit in. And it got into some actually pretty sworn doctrine for a while. We actually had a former host who was going about clandestinely telling people their tribe and where they were in the tribe, and then, of course, he was the chief prophet, and, of course, ended up being thrown off the show. So, you know, there along the way, there's been some very interesting backstory, but the Lord's calendar actually played into all of this because it gave us the grid to begin mapping out timelines in Scripture, which we thought would eventually lead us to be a little bit more accurate in terms of time. It didn't. The Lord was training us, and this is, you know, looking back on it now, looking back on the Lord's calendar, and from my perspective, in hindsight, to the third day, because while Sue and I are still doing the third day, we're not really rolling out the new material that we once did. What she's doing now is basically reviewing the material that's been brought out in the first two books, and of course, there's a third book that's in, I guess, on the editing boards right now. And so a lot of what we're doing now is basically tightening up a study that's 5 years in process.
Yeah.
But the Lord's calendar was a big part of that. And what the point I was getting to is this. What we've discovered is that we're being trained the whole way along. The Lord's calendar was simply to move us from the sense of a chronological time. We reached a point where we realized the calendar wasn't tenable, and that was probably about 3 years ago when we did Passover in February, and there was snow on the ground. It was kind of like, you know, this really doesn't work out physically. But what it taught us was not to be legalistic about time. It taught us that there were patterns in Scripture, and we basically got a view of how God would train us, and that was also part of the metaphorical language as well. It was a training thing.
Now, Randy, when you you're from the Northeast, how did you begin with Christian media?
That's a story that's almost supernatural. I was doing AM radio here in the East, and about the time that I wrapped up my AM radio show, which lasted about 6 months because the radio station I was on took a lot of heat for having me on the air, my former church basically started trying to boycott the radio station and exert financial pressure to get me thrown off. And I was, pardon me, I had discovered James Lloyd about a year before I left the church, and had gotten involved with CMN folks back in the earliest formation of that group. In fact, I was.
Now, how did you find him, Randy? And what kind of stuff were you thinking?
Well, here again is an interesting story. You want to talk about how God takes you through? I was actually looking on, and this was the early days of streaming audio. And I was looking for a prophet who I had met who was doing shortwave radio, and I was trying to find his show. And in trying to find his show, I stumbled onto this streaming audio station called Christian Media Network. And they ran all kinds of stuff in those days. Quail was on there. Who else? Rick Wiles.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a whole plethora of different talk show hosts on Christian Media in those days. And thundering out of the north was this voice like the voice of one crying in the wilderness, this guy named James Lloyd.
Man.
And the first shows that I ever heard James do were on the dialectic.
Really?
Diaprax.
Oh, really?
And this was the Dean Gocher material that he was doing under the name of Dragonspeak. And when I began to hear these shows and I heard how James broke it out, I was like, this was completely new to me. I had never heard anybody talk like this before. I'd never heard anybody explain the process of how the church was leavened. I already knew the church was leavened. I'd been in my last church 3.5 years, oddly enough. No spiritual signatures there.
Yeah.
And gone through ministry school, had plans to go in the ministry. I finished ministry school. They asked me to take the license, and I went, no, I don't think so. I'm good. And I just worked as a layperson. So listening to James and stumbling on him as I did, you know, it's funny. I can't even remember the name of the guy now that I was looking for. He's long forgotten. He actually did have a radio show at that time that was, I think, running on Christian media or running on a stream or, you know, I have no idea. This was an accident. And what? And I'll tell you how it happened. I actually had my computer set up in those days to physically record to a digital audio recorder so that I could listen to this stuff time delayed. And what came up instead of what I was expecting was this. So that's the short story, is that I got involved with CMN folks, and about 6 months after this, I had posted some articles on the CMN folks, and James Lloyd sent me an email one day, and I remember the heading of it. It said, "You," with an exclamation point after. And James said, "I don't know if you're any good at doing radio. I've seen your writings. I'd be very interested. Would you like to try doing some radio?" So I said, well, oddly enough, I happen to be doing radio, and we communicated back and forth, and we talked on the phone. And my first assignment was Christian Media Report, which was a half-hour news commentary show that followed the Robert Ellis show, Christian Media News, Christian Media Daily News. And I did that for about 6 months, and they launched Threshing Floor. And I sat back and I watched that thing take off. And then we contracted shortwave, and, you know, I said to James, well, it's been fun, you know, I guess I'll move on. He said, no. He says, I'm going to put you on Threshing Floor. So I wound up going on to Threshing Floor as the third host alongside Michael Todd and Sue Patterson. And that was really the beginning of this whole deal. I was just posting shows as links on the web in those days. There was no such thing as podcasting. This was in 2003. And as, you know, obviously the Net's abilities picked up, we wound up probably being one of the first Christian podcasts on the Internet.
Huh. Now, Randy, when was your first encounter with Sue Patterson?
We were communicating back and forth on CMN folks, and when I moved into Threshing Floor, Sue and I got to talking on the phone a few times. And like I said, this was Threshing Out the 144,000, and this was before she really had the idea that there was a multitude out there. In those days, what we thought about the 144,000 is very different. And it would, you know, it'd be a long, complicated explanation. But once the picture snapped into place, once she began to see that there was a second part to this, and I'll tell you where it actually picked up. It picked up when we began to study Ezekiel's beard, Ezekiel chapter 5. And that was huge, because then we began to see the division of thirds. And once you understood that, now you've got a party, because now you understand what's happening. So we have the 144,000, we have the multitude, now we've got to start looking what's the rest of the divisions. And from there, it was just kind of like eventually getting to the place where the serpents and scorpions came in. So Sue and I basically talked a lot on the phone, did a lot of emails, still posted on the CMN folks, and that was how we connected. Formally, that first third day show, Water and Wine, was the beginning of what was to be a long-term partnership between us. And it would continue largely because about that time, Michael Taub did drop out, not voluntarily. There was a lot of problems in the background that, you know, I won't go into, except to say that there was another spirit there. And so Michael Taub dropped off, and Sue is a very strong believer that a woman needs to be covered. And so she's far more comfortable doing shows with a male, somebody who is her spiritual covering while she's doing the show. I mean, obviously she's married, she has her husband George, and George is spiritually her cover as well, but she's been attacked and ravaged over the years because of being a female and teaching. And this goes on to even last week. I had to field this again.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, the comments about women teaching men. Well, Sue's teaching, and Sue's teaching people. And my goal in this is basically to be there as her spiritual partner and to help her. I mean, my job is basically, as far as the Third Day show goes, my job is to see that that show happens. And I have a commitment to Sue that's solemn. I'm not backing away from that. We've had minor disagreements over the years, never anything that was major, and we have different views on things. All of that's allowable because I believe in what she's doing.
Now, your basic 5 years of studies, did it blow you away after you, the initial shows, you got the Third Day up, you started, 15, 20 shows in? Was there a transition that you said, wow, this is wow?
This was wow for about probably at least 3 years, and there were points where we really slugged through some pretty dense stuff, and there were times when we didn't have answers. And there are recordings, some of them I released over the years, of Sue and I off mic, or basically the sessions that we would do late night, which were brainstorming, where you would hear us just riff back and forth between each other. We would just bounce ideas off of each other. And we both have electronic Bibles, which makes a lot of what we do very quick. So we were doing very quick word searches, and we were pushing, and it was just like any creative process, in that we just threw ideas out there, and some of it stuck and some of it didn't. You know, there was always this idea that there was another thing that we were going to be shown. And so we would go through it, and literally what we were doing was threshing. And God would show us something, and we would just kind of pick it up. And every once in a while, we'd have to pull back a little bit, or there'd be a question or a sticking point, and then that would get resolved. And really, those shows, the first 2 years definitely, and into the third year, was pretty heavy duty, moment by moment. When we were on radio, literally just going to the microphone, in those days was a telephone, connected over the boards out at Christian Media Network in Oregon, literally going to the mic, not knowing what we were going to do a show on. And we just start bouncing off of each other on the air live. And so it was a pretty heady process. There was not a lot of planning. There were no show notes. At that point, there was one book in process, but nothing was formal. It was just very much a creative process, and it was the Lord teaching us, and then us just, you know, standing there blurting it out as best we could.
Brother Chris?
Yeah, I think it's so neat, you know, when I've asked this question to you before and to Sue, and I guess I've gotten my answer, but, you know, I followed along. You know, I picked up. I'm just grateful I got in by the skin of my teeth here. I feel that's what happened to me. I mean, I found you guys a year and a half ago, and here I am, but somewhere along the line I realized these Third Day studies were big. This was a big thing. This was definitely something that God was doing, and you know, and I listened to how you guys worked through this stuff, and it's just so neat. And then I remember the following you along, and I haven't put my finger exactly when it happened, but you know, you identified the 144,000 and the multitude. Then you identified the 2/3 apostate. And for a long time, you guys referred to the serpents and scorpions as the 2/3 apostate. And then somewhere in there, I think, Randy, you told me one time that Sue went on a sabbatical back to James Lloyd's place, and out of there she came back with a lot of stuff. And when she really put the connections to the serpents and scorpions. And
around the time that the book, The Trumpet Judgments Unveiled, was being rolled out. Sue went out. Actually did a week of live broadcast, which James recorded for a CD, where she broke out this new material. And her and James at that time really kind of, together they kind of brought out another layer to this, which was what was in The Trumpet Judgments Unveiled.
Yeah, and The Trumpet Judgment Unveiled is such an amazing study. And, why am I saying this? Because I'm just blown away, you know, because we're seeing these predictions, you know, the stuff that the Lord has showed you guys coming to reality. You know, I just forwarded you guys an email a couple hours ago that Bob Jones, you know, announced the civil war in the church that's coming. And, you know, here, this is exactly what you guys have been teaching us, you know, and, you know, whatever it was, 3-4 years
ago. I didn't see that, but no, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, this is on the Elijah list right now, tonight. It was on there. And, you know, that's what this Joel's Army video, there's two of those out there now. You know, we just got a hold of this one recently that is just absolutely remarkable. It's 2 hours long with intricate detail of what these guys are up to. And they know who they are. They know they're the Locust Army. And
okay, I did see that. Yeah, I do remember now seeing that email. Yeah.
And I was going to try to get you to comment on that and what you're seeing now, Randy.
Well, I just want to get back. Randy, you carried on with the shows for up to current. When you made the identifications of the serpents, scorpions, multitude, how much did that open up the scriptures?
Well, it obviously on the layer that we're working, it opened it up hugely. It got easier to identify things. My problem has always been that Sue goes away over the summer months, and the one summer that she was gone, thanks to Mark Jenkins, we started looking at a bigger spectrum. And one of the spectrum that we looked at was Blackwater.
Oh, yeah.
And that took off into an entire series based on the work of Jeremy Scahill, who was investigating Blackwater at that time. And we began to see how it was entirely possible for this thing. Let me just say this. I've always considered the studies of the third day to be pretty much directed to the body of Christ, the church, whatever you want to call that. And for that reason, I've always worked a wider path, whereas, you know, Sue's very focused, and to her credit, she stayed focused. I have attention deficit disorder, so I tend to go plowing all over the field. So the Blackwater thing was huge because it became real easy to identify it. You had the head of Blackwater, who was supposedly a Christian. He's actually a Catholic. But he left a family that were of Dutch ancestry who were, you know, as nearly as I can tell, some strain of elites. And set up this private military which was actually under the direction of the Defense Department and the Bush administration, running missions for the CIA and for the defense intelligence agencies, including the rendition flights that were being run out to take prisoners into out-of-country camps where they were interrogated. This thing was huge. And realizing that this thing could come to America at any minute, now you've got the military aspect to the scorpions.
Yeah.
The other side of this is the John Hagee thing, which went on for a couple of years. And I had mapped John Hagee before he formed Koofy. There's probably an article out there somewhere when I was writing about IPAC. And that was actually my earliest radio on Christian media, was talking about Zionism and IPAC and the various strains of Israeli penetration into our government, into our finances, the fact that this was a very lucrative lobby group that was forming. And when Hagee hit, it was like, boom, you know, I mean, almost immediately, I'm like, Sue, look at this. This is huge. There's something going on here. Okay, so now we formulate the serpents. So we have the serpents and the scorpions, and that's all on layers. I mean, you can fan out from this. It gets bigger. But those two initial identifications made it possible for me to see how this could be global, how this could hit the entire world.
Oh, boy.
Now, when we look at coming up to current, the application using the metaphorical overlay and the spiritual identities, your perspective, as you said, Sue drills down and does her studies, and you on another level are taking a look at the different aspects of what you learned. And where are you at today?
I've pulled back a bit from the prophecy, and certainly from the type of prophecy that's gloom and doom. And the reason I've done that is because, quite frankly, every corner you turn now, there's a prophet crying. Well, you know, we're 5 years down the road on this. We've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. There is extremism in everything. And it's like I said, we've not been without our foibles in doing these shows. I mean, for a long time, we were following the Lord's calendar and even thinking that because it had a floating Sabbath, we were probably not going to be able to work anymore because we'd have to take a different day off every month. So a lot of times what happens is you get pulled back into line. Where I'm at right now is I have examined with open eyes and a knot in my stomach the veracity of the Bible itself. I've tested it. And I understand that this is disturbing to people, and I understand that the shows that I've done over the last 6 months to a year in some level have bothered people. They've bothered me. I made a serious inquiry based on the fact that I still believe there are aspects to the New Testament scriptures where they have been altered. And that's uncomfortable for people. Those who have followed me, who haven't, you know, kind of kicked me to the curb, and I understand this. I got extreme about it too, so there was an extremism there as well. My current conclusion is that, like anything else, we have to place the Bible in perspective and understand it is there for a purpose. Whatever alterations have been done to it are done. I think we have the parts of it that we need. We have the words of Jesus, we have the teachings of Paul, and the words of the apostles. The things that are questionable in my mind are not major at this point. I think that with discernment, one can read and understand the Bible, and yes, there is embedded within the scriptures a continuity of prophetic threads that nothing man can do is going to take out. You can't, here's the conclusion, and this is where I'm at as of like this weekend. God will not be erased. He is self-evident. He is self-assertive. He can assert himself in any manner he chooses. If you look at the history of Israel as the template for the history of the church, how long did it really last? I mean, no sooner did Moses come down from the mountain than they were in idol worship, and the first stone tablets, the first really written word of God to his people, was destroyed right there on the spot by Moses.
That's true.
Wow.
They actually fell 10 times just in the book of Judges.
So, really, God preserves his word, but he preserves his word supernaturally. There's nothing man can do to alter God's intent. And that includes altering his books, rewriting them, retranslating them, having Constantine form a church, having a succession of popes, having all of the garbage that's threaded down through the institutional religious structures to this day. There is within the remnant of Israel always a remnant, and that remnant are those who will sense that there's something wrong. And you know, if you just stop to think about it for a minute, now we're going back 7 years, we're telling people to get out of the church. Okay, so now I'm just asking people to step back and take a close look at their Bible before, and here's my point. I have watched the Bible wars rage for years. I've been part of them. I was great at this. I could sling scripture with the best of them, and I could just smack somebody up over the side of the head with it. I saw the wounding that occurred. I saw the division that occurred, and I saw the dishonor in the spirit to God. And people.
I agree with that. I see that, too, in different places. I fully agree with that.
So maybe in a way my extremism was a means to shock other people and myself into realizing there's another principle here. You know, as you pointed out, Bill, you sent that post out from Watchman's Cry, and what that gentleman on Watchman's Cry was questioning about Steve Quayle and Nathan Leo.
Yeah.
Look, I think there should be a warning ministry. I think the warning is always valuable. And truthfully, I've never stopped warning. But I also think the greater power that converts is not fear, it is love. And in that respect, all of us have fallen short because we've not operated in a spirit of love. And that doesn't mean being all-inclusive. That means we have to look at people where they're at and understand.
Understand where they're at and their spiritual understanding, yes.
Yeah.
It reminds me of what you're saying is Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus went up on the mountain, he could see the multitude.
Yeah.
And then his disciples came up. And he could see the whole picture of the multitude. He could see their, you know, he could see the trouble that they were in. He could see the misunderstanding that they were in. They could see the misleading. And he's explaining this to his disciples. Hey, you guys are the ones of the salt of the earth. You know, he looks down and explains all the things that he's seeing from the multitude from that mount. And when we start beating each other over the head and start attacking each other and instead of trying to help, you know, help the understanding of others, it's there is an agape love in there. You know, it's not the Christian cotton candy love, but there's an agape love of understanding of just how Jesus was looking down from Sermon on the Mount as he was understanding the multitude there.
There are, on the face of this planet, over almost 7 billion people. I doubt that a small fraction of those people have ever been introduced to the living God with the spirit of love. Most of them have been taught religion. Most of them have rebelled against religion. Most of them have rebelled against what they thought was God. I don't think they rebelled against God. I think they rebelled against man's hideous monster that he's made of the things of God, which is religion. And
well, I'll agree with that.
So my questioning is a very naked thing for me. I couldn't hide it anymore. I couldn't leave my own doubts just sitting in the back of my mind and mechanically continue to spin out shows. It was literally a point at the beginning of this year when I went, if I don't get this stuff out, I have to risk losing people in order to gain the trust of other people who are going to listen. I came out of paganism, New Age, as a teenager. I spent a lot of years in darkness. I understand what that's all about. But I also got to tell you that I met a lot of people along the way who had a bit of truth, and I still do. And they know that Jesus lives in a way that I don't know that sometimes Christians do. They sense that there's something spiritually vital there. They just don't know what to do with it because they look at Christianity and they're repelled by it. And so, from my perspective, I want to deal with those issues transparently and nakedly and try and let people understand that, yes, there's questioning. I mean, I've gone to the Lord repeatedly and I said, you know, I have to ask these questions. I have to ask. And it's been disturbing. It's very disturbing. But what you get at the end of that process, and I'm not there yet, is a sense that, again, like I said before, God will assert himself. He will always, look, you know, I grew up, I was really screwed up. And as I went through lots of periods where literally I was just a very screwed up human being, very miserable, not a lot of fun to be around at all, miserable to myself. I saw God deliver me time and again and save me from my own self-destruction. And I want to help people who are in those modes to heal. And I don't want them to have to spend decades doing it. Mm-hmm. I want them to know who Christ is in power, meaning the ability to heal, the ability to deliver. This is why I'm doing the Exotica shows right now. Because there's deliverance there. We're talking about demons. And we're talking about an onslaught to the planet that nobody is ready for right now.
Let's talk a little bit about Exotica, Randy. I've listened to your Exotica broadcast. What brought you to that format and the basic outlay that your guests come to the show when you have them on? You're in the truth, and sometimes they're not in the truth.
Most of the time they're not in the truth.
Most of the time they're not in the truth. But and I agree with you. This is very, very important territory to look at scripturally. You want to give us a background of Exotica?
Well, first off, Exotica's been around for longer than me. That was actually a series that James started back in about 2002, 2003. At that time, he had Floating Hosts on it. It was basically to deal with things that we consider to be outside the realm of conventional Christian preaching and teaching. And I did shows off and on over the years, and I did them regularly for a period of time, and I backed away from it. And my reasons for backing away from it were twofold. One, I was too busy doing Threshing Floor, and secondly, I hit a wall that I couldn't cross. And that wall that I couldn't cross was the UFO ET phenomena. I had to deal with my own demons in that as well. And that's going to be a forthcoming Exotica show, so I'm not going to give you a lot of details except to say that from a personal standpoint, I know very much what's out there is real. And I can tell you that there are people who have come on Exotica that know what it is. There are other people who are completely deceived. I think in doing these shows, I've gotten to a place where I understand a little bit more what the spiritual warfare is, because it is supernatural to a level that, look, nobody's ready for this. You notice the ramp up in the media now. It's been going on for a long time, but it's pronounced now. I mean, every time you turn around, anybody watch the Super Bowl commercials and see the ET UFO commercials on there, you notice the TV shows now that are supernatural. We are at the point where we have a political movement called exopolitics that wants disclosure from the governments on the UFOs and ETs. All of this is stage dressing. All of this is prepared and planned. And I think scripture actually tells us this. I think Jesus actually tells us this. And quite truthfully, I didn't believe this for a long time. When Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, he gives you a couple of specific things there. They ate, they drank, they married, and they gave in marriage. And I'm going, well, that's the limitation of that. The truth of the matter is that looking now at Scripture and looking at it prophetically, I do think he was pointing to something else. And I do think part of what we're seeing, especially after some of the interviews I've done, is actually a recurrence of Genesis chapter 6. The Nephilim never went away. The flood didn't kill the Nephilim because they're spiritually, they're spawn of demons. So, now, go ahead.
Oh, I continuing on, Randy, just for the audience to understand, the current, let's call it the phenomena of the media introducing let's say stories of supernatural, stories of UFOs. We know that that's Satan's demons. Now, can you articulate a little more on that premise?
Well, what you're dealing with is multiple phenomena. If you remember, if you on Exotica, I did 4 hours of interviews with Nigel Kerner, who's written a couple of books on specifically the alien gray. Nigel's theories probably are the closest to mine in the fact that what we're dealing with here are synthetic beings, soulless synthetic beings, humanoid robots that have been sent here to harvest human DNA to abduct people for purposes of creating what is essentially a race of people who are hybrid. This is so bizarre. I mean, honestly, I can't say the words without, you know, creeping out. Effectively, you're dealing with a hybridization program that's the continuance of what the Nephilim were doing, what the Fallen Ones were doing. And it looks like there was a portal that was opened in 1947 again.
Yeah.
More specifically, 1954, apparently the government negotiated, and I keep getting stories of this. I got some more information this week, that there was a deal made, and the deal was bodies for technology. So effectively, it was open season on humans. And especially the United States and Canada, that was where a lot of the phenomena was localized. So, I mean, you have a plan that's just, you know, millennia old, designed to corrupt the human seed. The original corruption of the human seed was to prevent the Messiah from coming. And, you know, and it almost worked. That's what the flood was about. God had to wipe out humanity to preserve the seed. And it says that Noah was perfect in his generations. He was perfect in his genome. So they've been at this for a very long time. It actually is goes back to even the ancient gods, and it goes into the mythological material about what the gods were, Molech, Baal, and all these other gods that they worshipped when they, you know, sacrificed their children. It's very clear that something powerful and supernatural has held civilizations in fear for so long. And it all seems to now connect to what we see being played out in the phenomena of the ET and the UFO.
Now, can you comment a little bit, Randy, on spiritual warfare and deliverance for our audience?
In a specific area?
Well, generally, just general background, you know,
Okay, deliverance ministry has this aura about it that's been advanced by largely the charismatic churches. And some of it is true. If you understand that deliverance is scriptural, it's not necessarily what we think it is. It may be expelling demons. It may be casting out devils. It may be that deliverance for some people is simply them working through the things that they're holding on to. A lot of what we call deliverance has to do with the fact that we have strongholds in our spirits. There are things that we hold on to that are unrighteous, and it's different for each person. It tends to manifest itself in the stumbling blocks that we have in our lives. Wherever there is something that is preventing us from having a relationship with Christ, that's an area that requires deliverance. So deliverance ministry is largely not that much different in a lot of cases than what you would call counseling. And I don't mean the brand that we have today, which is Christian counseling, which is centered around psychology. It has to do with opening up a person to allow Christ to come in and remove those strongholds in the soul and in the spirit that prevent them from a full relationship with him. It could be sexual, it could be financial, it could be substance abuse. It could be almost anything in the realm of human endeavor that's an idol.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good explanation overall that you gave there. That's what it is. There's just something that stops you from knowing Jesus Christ somewhere.
On the high end of the thing, it may be prayer walking your city, like Henry Groover did. And I know Henry Groover. Henry Groover came into my Bible school and did an entire session with us. It may be as simple as prayer walking your own backyard. And a lot of times what we're talking about here is you covering your own family, you covering your own household, you praying over your place of work. Because we have the ability, and Jesus told us this, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And yes, the manifestations of serpents and scorpions in the third day are very real. We've identified levels of them in those studies. But the truth of the matter is they are the legion of spirits that have been unleashed into humankind that are designed to take our souls. So
yes,
it is, again, you know, it can be as big as praying over a city, prayer walking, but it really starts in your own house, in your own everyday life, of covering things, of being watchful in the spirit. People who are given the gift of discerning of spirits, if they're paying attention, are going to notice the little manifestations that occur. I watch them all the time. I go to the grocery store and I see them. I see things that other people don't see, because apparently that's the gift that I was given, to be able to identify that. When I see it, you know, I may just stop for a minute. I may just stop and I may mentally pray, or I may even walk up and talk to somebody. I may interrupt a spirit in the middle of somebody's fugue with them. I've done that. I've literally walked up and had conversations with people, and they have no idea why I'm talking to them. The reason I'm talking to them is because at that moment I saw something on them that I want to break. And my presence is a terror to these demons, as is the presence of any spirit-filled believer.
Amen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Randy, stumbling blocks. Let's get back to stumbling blocks as far as your advice to anyone new to the third day, anyone new to the threshing floor and the Exotica shows.
Well, those shows are all different levels, you know. And I mean, I'm really at this point, I'm not sure I'm going to continue to post Exotic on Threshing Floor, just because I don't want to stumble people. I understand the nature of those shows, and anybody who walks into that without knowing who I am and what I've done is going to think I'm either insane or that I've completely abandoned Christ. And I, you know, both of those create stumbling blocks. The levels are simply this. I think the third day study prophetically is a good place to be. I try to keep Threshing Floor at a place now where it's a little more personal, a little more narrow focused. And I think what you guys are doing is basically you're up on the wall. You are, you know, basically threading through every week things on the global level, things on the scriptural level, and bringing them into alignment with, you know, the work that Sue and I have done, the work that James Lloyd has done, and what you each have been given as gifts. I mean, when I hear the Watchmen shows, I see three gifts working at all times, and they move back and forth. So I think people who listen to your show are going to get a very good grounding without having necessarily to go back and go through years and years of third day shows. That's a pretty tall order. And I get people that ask me this a lot, and we can send them to a few key shows, but the bottom line is it's a moving train. You just got to jump on one of the boxcars and ride for a while.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, audience. Absolutely. It's a moving train. Randy, current events we're going to go into for a couple minutes. I know you have to go. The Japan earthquakes.
Huge. That thing's huge. And I, you know, I can't tell you what I feel right now, because I woke up Friday morning, which was a few hours after the quake had hit in Japan, and I saw the headlines, and I literally wept. We are in so much danger right now physically. I've for years held, going back to 2004 in the Indian Ocean tsunami, which I, on one level, interpreted in alignment with the sixth seal of Revelation, the great earthquake. But this quake has fingerprints of the New World Order all over it. Just look at the date. It's March 11th, 2011.
March 11th, yeah.
They're desperate, yeah. You know. They are so far behind schedule in getting this thing going. They've got HARP arrays all over the world, and I have information. I think I sent this to you earlier, that there is a HARP signature that went out hours before this quake hit, much like the Haiti quake, which was also huge. We started this year with the shooting down in Tucson, which I don't think a lot of people understood what occurred there, but that was another public assault on our sensibilities. That was clearly an MK Ultra project, and it took out a judge, and the cover was the congressperson. this quake is the beginning of a long trigger along the Ring of Fire. And the fact that we now have one nuclear reactor is already blown up. We've got radiation that's going to begin emanating from that. We have a second nuclear plant in danger. You actually, I think, have five plants right now that are at risk. Any one of those plants, in concert with the right winds, has the ability to send a wave of radioactivity out across the expanse of what we call the Ring of Fire onto the west coast of the United States. In addition to that, you have tectonic activities. You have what occurred in the Gulf last year, the gaping wound, which is not healed. And that's huge as well, because that was also another tectonic event. What they did there was they triggered some things that are going to continue to play out. It's all connected.
Oh, I'll agree with that.
Man's hands are all over it. I mean, Satan's servants are working overtime right now. You got to understand this guy. He hates those who work for him. He's complete opposite of the Lord. The Lord totally loves the people that work for him. Satan will not only work these guys like the brutal taskmaster he is, but he'll kill them when he's done with them. You know, this will be Night of the Long Knives on steroids as these guys start to tumble. But they're desperate, they're behind schedule, and they're definitely brewing it up right now.
What do you mean they're behind schedule, Randy?
Well, if you look at the history of the predictions of the New World Order, they go back, obviously, for a very long time, but the original expectation was 1976, then it was 1984. Clearly, what happened on September 11th, 2001, was a major hit. I mean, anybody out there still thinks that those were planes flying into buildings that took down the World Trade Center, there's a bridge right across the river there that you can get a good lease on. Please, let's
wait. I spent hours looking at hours and hours and hours and at those. I forget the guy that put those. He did a real good job putting those videos up. And I think they were missiles myself. But
I know what the Lord told me to do the day before September 11th, which was basically for 2 hours he had me in travail. I was literally in the woods. There's an old church and cemetery near my office building, and I wound up there on my face weeping, not knowing why. I just had this horrible, horrible sense that I had to pray. And the next morning I knew why. And it doesn't mean I knew what was coming. I didn't. God just said pray, you know, and that's the sense that I have almost every day now. When I see these things coming to fruition, there's just a huge, huge chain of events that play out over a long time. So there's more coming. I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, they're going to light it up this year, and it's the Gulf is part of it. This quake is part of it. There, you know, people that are on the West Coast, you really need to hear from God right now to know where you're supposed to be, and also for the people in the middle of the country, because, well, we have a gigantic fault that runs right up through the center of the country, and I hate to say it, but I've seen it. Other people have seen it. This country could wind up with an inland ocean as a result of the right earthquake.
Sobering. Very sobering.
Yes, very sobering.
One more thing, I'll go ahead.
One more thing I want to say, you know, and I got a couple of minutes here, but I want to say this about prophecy. We can't be in love with our own prophetic stances, and that includes the work that Sue and I have done. I am not proclaiming death on the multitude. I'm proclaiming healing. I want more people to come out. I want more people to know where they're supposed to be so that they don't have to go through these things. I see very clear indications in the scripture of protection under the shadow of his wings. Just go read Psalm 91.
Amen.
I am not going to give in to fatalistic doom and gloom prophecy, even though there are dark things that need to be uttered. You can be under the protection of Yahweh, and I want to help you do that, and I want you to understand that the love of God is infinite. His judgment and his wrath has a limitation, and that's a very important thing to understand. A prophecy is a warning. And it would be better to be labeled a false prophet and have predicted something and have it not occur and lives be saved than for anybody to be proven as so-called true prophet of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Randy. The these are hard truths, audience, that we're dealing with. The fleshly manifestation of this prophetic man-based thought process is not the spirit. This is your burden is light, your yoke is light in the truth. And it's not doom and gloom. You were born such as a time as this. Now, Randy, the manifestation of the earthquake and moving, this pace is going to pick up. No doubt.
Yeah. It's been picking up.
And we remember October, there was a shift. And all three of us and yourself kind of recognized definitely a spiritual shift.
Yeah.
Now, as we proceed, we find ourselves that we're live. This is live and ongoing, and it's scripturally based.
Real time.
Real time. Brother Bill, any questions for Brother Randy?
No, this has been an excellent interview, and I thought he's brought out some wonderful insights. I'm always delighted by the things that he sees. He's got some tremendous vision that the Lord gives him.
Brother Chris. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Randy.
No, I'm sorry. I just cleared my throat.
Well, you know, it's funny where everything I'm hearing in my own time with the Lord is the division that's coming, you know, the actual threshing. And I see the division coming to the church. I see all these prophetic signatures so clearly pointing towards that. And, you know, and go back to the Exotica shows and your new, you know, direction you've been taking. I think the most fascinating thing to me was the Collins Elite and how they tie into the Dominionist movement, because this really got my attention, because this is all stuff that's happening in real time. This Dominionist, you know, NAR, you know, thing is big. And
well, that is the spirit of the serpents right there. I mean, it's the same thing on another layer as the John Hagee Zionism stuff. It's all equally as dangerous because it will all come together at some point. It's what I call the dual pincer movement.
I've always felt that. I felt that they have to come together, those two.
And how that occurs, probably we don't understand that. I've tried to reason it out in my mind. I don't know. I see connections. But, you know, I've actually had a friend of mine, another talk show host, who said to me, oh, it's very clear to me that the people in the church, given the right circumstances, will be a bunch of killers. He said, I see that spirit on them. And yes. So you have to understand that even though they've cloaked themselves in all this religious stuff, they've been trained for war, not in a good way. They've been trained basically to go for the jugular when their particular perspective is attacked. And they're on to the teeth right now, spiritually. They're just waiting for the pin to be pulled. These people are walking grenades.
What do you mean by that? They're armed to the teeth spiritually. I kind of know what you mean, but I'm
spiritual demons. The spiritual demons.
Absolutely. Stand in the holy place with the full armor of the light of the Lord God, and you are to be wise as a serpent and gentle as the dove.
I mean,
what you're seeing in these people, you don't really see that person. What you're seeing is the demons in them that are controlling them.
I saw it when I was in the church, and too many times. We did prayer ministry. You know, I would see people who came to the altar, and you saw it. You know, the human being disappeared, and what you saw was the spirit.
Yeah.
And it was frightening because you had to deal with that. In some cases, you know, people's hearts would soften, and you had a place to speak. And other times, there was just no open door. And again, well, that's what we're talking about when we talk about deliverance. We're talking about the fact that you have to speak truth into a darkened world, understanding that the demons are going to snarl back, and they are not going to be pleasant about it. And they have human bodies, and they have an entire religious structure that will support them right down to the end. And that's kind of where all this leads. So whether it's, you know, the NAR or whether it's Zionism, it really doesn't matter, because It's a militant mindset. It's not the mindset of Christ. It is the mindset of Satan.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I, you know, Steve Knox this week, you know, one of our guys on our on the group, you know, he was on the Threshers, and you know Steve Knox, Randy?
Yeah,
you know who he, yeah.
Sure,
he, you know, he picked up on something this week that was, he said, you know, just realized that that they're going to have discernment, spiritual discernment to know, to identify the multitude.
I have little doubt about that. If you've ever seen a demon operate, it's amazing how they're able to zoom in on the weakest. This is actually the metaphor that goes back to the Israelites in the desert. You know, the ones who lagged behind got taken because there was no protection in the group. This was why God organized them into tribes and kept them tightly together. The same principle is equally true now, because the churches don't offer spiritual covering. They basically have become a nest of vipers once again. So yeah, I mean, a demon has the ability to just completely zero in on that. And you know, this is the thing about it. We all have to get this stuff out of our hearts. We got to clean the closets out, because that's the weapon that's leveled against you. It's the weakest point in your own soul that will be used against you, and the demons know exactly what it is.
On every level.
Yes.
Every level.
You know, I'm sitting here, guys, and I got to tell you, when we were talking, you know, this last 20 minutes, I'm shaking. My hands are shaking. I'm sitting here, I feel like I'm going to cry. I mean, I'll just be very transparent. You know, I do shows, and that sounds very calm and collected. There are times when I shut the mic off for a while, and I just sit here because I start to lose it. The things that I see are difficult to put into words anymore. And what I see right now is very dark, and yet at the same time, Isaiah 60, you know, darkness, gross darkness upon the world, but the light is rising upon us. We have to pick that up. We have to pick the light up. We have to be the light. We have to embody the light, which was Christ, and become part of that frequency that is higher than a demonic, so that we can operate. And when we do that, we really have the ability to reach out and grab people, whether it's one, whether it's two, it doesn't matter. If you
doesn't matter, right?
We're on a rescue mission.
And we're to set the captives free.
Exactly. That mantle has never changed in 2,000 years.
And you were talking about the darkness in Isaiah 60, and then the light comes in Isaiah 61.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we're going to go in a very rapid succession. Time at this point, time in terms of linear time, is being thrown off. We know that the Earth moved in the tsunami in 2004. We now know that the atomic clocks themselves aren't even on time anymore. So nobody's on time anymore. And you say, well, it's seconds. No, there's a dimensional shift as well. Everything's speeding up. And it's going to speed up to that point when the angel in Revelation chapter 10 says time is no more, meaning the bell is rung. And you're going to see rapid fire events that will occur. They're going to occur so quickly that we're not going to be able to process it anymore. Men's hearts failing them? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's going to outstrip the human ability to even process what's occurring.
Oh, I think about that all the time and try to
figure
out.
Yeah, I do too. I do
Plagues
too.
Of Egypt, audience. Plagues of Egypt is a good example of this.
So I mean,
that kind of reminds me of what you mentioned last week, Chris, about now how are you watching TV. It's just a flip. They can't hold a scene for more than 2 seconds, you know?
No, this is complete attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
And everybody's got it because we're all fixated by it. You know, it's the other side of it. The technology is a blessing for what we do. It's a curse on the other hand, because we're just constantly connected and we're streaming the devil 24 hours a day now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta have a firewall for all this.
That's right.
Firewall, yeah.
That's a good, yeah, firewall. There you go. Yeah, and I don't think that they have any of those down at Radio Shack.
No. You can't put it on your router. You need it on your brain. It's called the, well, it's part of the full armor of God. It's that helmet. It's put on top. It's called, that's right, salvation. Yeah, that's it. Nobody understands what salvation is. Look up the Greek word sozo sometime and wrap your mind around that, because salvation encumbers a lot of different things that go beyond the idea of burning in hell.
It is standing in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is His salvation, audience. These things that we're telling you may seem like doom and gloom, but we're coming with the truth. And we're coming scripturally based on the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming. And we have been told that we are going to go through a tribulation, and it's live. Anybody disagree?
No.
Not at all. No.
It's speeding up all the time.
Speeding up all the time.
And, each day I feel a little bit like I'm kind of moving into a timeless situation. I mean, it seems like a week is one day now. Used to seem like a week was 2 days. Now it seems more like it's one day.
Sure, yeah, that's actually, in your mind, you know, on one level, that's what we're all experiencing. Yeah, and I'm going to have to get out of here. I do have another commitment, so...
Thanks so much, Randy.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, guys.
It was very enjoyable.
Keep up the great work. I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
See you. All right, good night. God bless you all.
Take care, Brother Randy. Now, audience, we I can assure you Randy Moggins speaks in the truth. He has been setting captives free since he began. And it may seem a little, may seem odd that someone in the truth would be in a UFO show. But he's entrenched, and he's doing it for you, audience. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's got the machete out, and he's a frontiersman for sure. And I'm just privileged to be a part of the ministry myself. I mean, you know, he had saw potential with us, what, a year ago now, and, you know, helping us put this together and, you know, inviting us on board with the threshing floor and it's given him the ability to go there. And it's just exciting, you know, to just be a part of what God's doing. And, you know, it's our prayer every week to just stay, you know, in the truth and present the truth that the Lord is showing us. And that's what we're here doing, folks.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, it's a day-by-day thing, you know. It's nothing that none of us planned. I never planned any of this. Just kind of... is something that developed on its own. And the Exotica show, what you have to keep understanding is that, you know, it's not a Christian show. He's not producing it as a Christian show, and or announcing that it's a Christian show. You know, it's just getting views from, you know, other perspectives around the world, and are people that are in the areas, you know, that have done work in that area. And obviously, many of those people I've listened to, I guess, are atheists, and some of them are not, and some of them are lost. And I know Brother Randy's out there trying and communicating in ways that sometimes we can't understand.
Absolutely agree, audience. We are told in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childless things. Now, this scripture applies to what Brother Randy is talking about. The world does not see this happening. They are not to be given a sign. And they will be moved in, and let's call it the multitude. The multitude is now being hemmed in. And if they don't stand in the Lord Jesus Christ and this gospel in understanding, they are going to experience a sense of fear that no man has ever experienced. And this is from the Lord God, bring fear to man. Bill, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, it's right. You know, everywhere you look in the world today, they're trying to give you peace and safety. And you know, there's nothing that they don't want to give you peace and safety and security and convince you that it's all in the flesh. And what all they call peace and safety, you're going to find that it's fruitless. It's vanity. It's a dead end street, and there is no peace and safety. The peace and safety is only in the having the Lord Jesus Christ come into you, having the mind of Christ Jesus in you. There is no other peace and safety. And there's just not a minute goes by in life where you don't turn the TV on. Even I see it in the Weather Channel. As soon as I flip on my go to my emails, the Yahoo comes up, and they got the most ridiculous. They want to protect you against. We got to protect you against chocolate. And then the next day is, did you know the effects of this? And did you know that by doing this, you can protect yourself against that? I mean, things that are just meaningless. It's gone to the spectrum of protection upon protection upon protection of literally everything in life. I mean, you know, walking this earth was a risk, I believe. It always has been. And this is just building upon people's fears in their life. And to where they're looking for a protection. The only protection that they haven't tried, the world hasn't tried, is Jesus Christ. They haven't tried that protection. They haven't tried, standing under, like I said, he would gather all of his children under his wings like a mother chicken, or like a mother gathers her chicken, a mother hen. They haven't tried that protection.
No, and we brought up the subject of salvation, audience. And when you drill down on salvation and search it out scripturally, you find ultimately it is free, it is secure at all. It's the Lord avenging, the Lord defending, the Lord delivering. It's the Lord helping. Helping to preserve, helping to rescue, helping to be safe, bring having salvation, save, get victory. The salvation that Jesus Christ, audience, our Lord, offers is one-on-one. And the churches have lied to you.
And said that's the big misconception right there. If people could get the idea of the group mentality out of their mind, They feel secure in a group for some reason. That's always been man's mentality ever since the Tower of Babel. It is one-on-one. You're right. Mano y mano.
And audience, the critical understanding you need to have in this transition from milk of Scripture that you've been taught to the meat of Scripture that the Holy Spirit teaches through this gospel is the understanding of your salvation is in our Lord Jesus Christ and the finished works of the cross. And we are told from our Lord that, you know, the proper rendering of this is to clean your temple out, okay, of all stumbling blocks, that he may come in and dwell, that he may sup with you. We're told in Psalms 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And as the chaotic events are going on, and we're told through scriptures these are going to keep going to the point where we will have a continuous flood of bad things happening in the flesh. But it is mighty in the spirit.
Right. You know, plus the propagators out there are all drama queens, true. I mean, not that a lot of this is not a serious thing. Possibly this Chernobyl thing over there, the nuclear reactor thing could be very serious. Whereas the earthquake 100 years ago probably wouldn't be as near as serious as it is today because Babylon has been built up in Japan. But then on the news and on the all of the short waves on the Alex Joneses, the Steve Quails, they're all drama queens. The news is just full of drama queens. So they're even adding to the confusion and adding to the fear and putting you more in a state of confusion. And I'm telling you, the only way to get out of this state of confusion is the mind of Christ Jesus in you. Yeah. He settles down a confused mind.
Your rest, your Sabbath rest.
That's what rest is, yes.
And they took away, audience, they took away your rest with the Seventh-day Adventist and the Sabbath, fleshly Sabbath keepers. Rand, your Sabbath is every day, every hour. You are to pray to do the Lord's will and come to Him. Come out of her, the structured religious teachings, and come unto Jesus Christ our Lord, and He will teach you. Brother Chris?
Yeah, and I just was thinking about what Randy said about that. It's just such a sad commentary, is that so many people base their view of the Lord on religion, on the religion that they've been presented, and it's just so obvious that this is Satan's main focus.
Well, that's why everyone has the flesh understanding.
Yeah.
The religion will give you a flesh understanding. I've come to the conclusion, I don't know of a religion or a sect of a religion that is not flesh-based.
Yeah.
I don't care how spiritual they think they are. Once you start observing it and looking at it, and you see this is flesh.
It all comes from reading Scripture and with spiritual eyes, because we believers in the New Testament, you know, are to look at Scripture with spiritual understanding, because the natural man understands not the things of God. And yes, that doctrine is taught in the church, but it's twisted and distorted because they don't know. What that really means as far as truly understanding spiritual renderings of Scripture. You know, I was just, talking to you guys earlier tonight about the Lord showing me some stuff in Romans chapter 11 and about, blindness has come upon Israel, you know. And it's just, it's got a dual timeline. You know, that's Paul talking to the people of the day. And it also applies to us now, you know, spiritual Israel today. And blindness in part for God's purpose has come upon the church. And this is where we are, and this is how we read Scripture that way, with the spiritual overlay. And, it comes alive, and when we find our place in it, and this is where we are today. You know, it was really neat, too, the way Randy said how profound it was when they figured out Ezekiel's beard. Because I see that, too. I've really zoned in on that teaching. The separation. And, you know, this is what we're called to do. To rightly divide the word of truth means to find yourself in Scripture. Because there are these divisions in Scripture, the God's remnant seed that He's always preserved. There's the multitude in the valley of decision. And then there's the bad guys, you know, the serpents and the scorpions. And these are all in the church. These are all, identities that are found inside the house of God.
And you won't find that by sitting around idle. Audience, being in the world.
That's right. As long as you think that the leaven is a good thing, I know we discussed the leaven last week, but you can't come to that conclusion that you just made, Chris.
Yeah.
You can't. You've got to understand that the leaven is a bad thing in order to come to that conclusion, which you just described. It's all in the church. These identities all exist within the church.
And it's just idiotic the way that the hope of the Christian today is in the flesh. You know, I get an email that says, there's a filter you can put on your TV to filter out profanity. And it's like, great. That's really going to help us now.
Yeah, there's also a filter right on the thing where it's called an off switch.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this is the type of thing that the modern evangelical Christian is putting their hope in, looking
right.
for, because their eyes are on the world, and they want so badly for, you know, the world to be fixed, because they love the world.
They want the world, but they, oh, well, I don't like that part. Well, you can't just pick and choose.
And for the audience member that has the meat of Scripture, you can recount James Lloyd has a study on the 6-7-8 cycle. And we here have been following that in terms of being able to identify scripturally some basic patterns. And I'm coming to the conclusion, I'm not sure about Chris or Bill, that you can enter this cycle yourself, audience.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's right in the script. It's in the text. It's a man that invites the seven demons in his house. Back, you know, and he goes back to his old ways, and he wanders in dry places seeking rest and finding none. And that man is worse than when he started out.
Now, let's do the opposite. If you're wearing the full armor of the Lord God, and you have your six, you are coming into the truth. You're preliminary, doing your cleaning your temple. You're seeking the Lord diligently. You're repenting of your sins. You're seeking your salvation. And the Lord teaches you through the Holy Spirit the gospel truth, which was told by Paul. If you want to know the our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel. So on one layer, audience, if you're new to scriptures, you're coming from the six, which is the best man can do, the best you've been taught in all the churches. You are repenting one-on-one with your Lord Jesus Christ, and he is revealing to you scriptural truth. You come into the seventh. Anybody disagree with that?
I absolutely not. Right, you come into the seven. As a matter of fact, the church has taken the Pauline doctrine out of the seven, and they've formed an eighth out of it. The church is totally ignorant of the Pauline doctrine. The understanding of Christianity today that Paul went around and setting up these churches and organized religion. You know, they've made a 6-7-8 right out of Paul in their own mind. Paul never did any of that. And Paul stayed in number 7 all the time.
And that's what we're talking about, audience, is staying in the 7 now. Staying in the 7 and being a holy vessel. You can wake up in the morning and have the full weight of the world where you are just, you know, you're ready to be the hamster on the treadmill. And if you pray for our Lord's rest, you will receive it. But this is one hard saying. Because once you receive that rest, you know, that's something special. There's no proper rendering for going into perdition in the eighth. Okay, that can go back to some seed was scorched by the sun. Some seed is picked up by the fowls of the air, and those are serpents and scorpions. If you're allowing them to, you tread on them. They don't tread on you. They want you drunk on their gospel that is leading them into perdition, and they have seven spirits worse than they had from the sixth.
Yep.
And we're trying to convey a very, very hard biblical truth that you have the rest in our Lord Jesus Christ for this. You have the full armor of God.
That's right. The full armor of God allows you to, you know, the serpents and scorpions, if we might take a minute on it on a spiritual layer. It's just the demons, the minions that work for devil. You know, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, in Luke chapter 4, after he had been tempted by the devil himself. He wasn't tempted by his buddies. The devil went and did this himself. And then he comes in into town and he casts out demons. And the demons are doing, you know, they're listening, they're obeying Jesus. And then, and I'm just paraphrasing, but the so-called multitudes that are watching on the sidelines, they go, what is this man? Are demons obey this man? And what he was doing was treading right on serpents and scorpions right there. He had the power of the Holy Spirit because he had submitted fully his everything into the Lord. And he will give us, that's what he's giving us if we submit everything to the Lord, is the power to tread upon these demons also.
And we're told, audience, that this isn't a flesh thing.
Well, that's what Paul says. It's not flesh and blood. That's not what our battle is.
So you are in this world, and now we're calling you to not be conformed to this world.
What are they trying to do here with this, you know, raising up the king of the south? They're trying to make it all flesh. Everybody hates everybody's flesh. Oh, I hate that flesh. I hate Islamic flesh. I hate Jewish flesh. I hate this flesh. I mean, that's what it's all they're doing. And people, you know, this is not where the battle is. The battle is the spirits behind all these movements.
And I see them, you know, fomenting this hatred. And
yes.
They're clearly going to be coming in with Solomon's kingdom. This is their goal.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah, this is what their goal is.
There's no question that that's what they want. They want to, you know, this is why Solomon became the eighth, because he wanted to do it his way. And that's what they want to do, is they want to do it their way. And they have these visions of this great utopia on earth.
And they have propagated this, audience. Okay, your great utopia on earth started in 1947, and the proper rendering is that the church went apostate soon after the apostles. But there's always been a remnant that have stood in the truth. And the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the proper rendering of scriptures is still ongoing. The gospel is limitless as far as man's time to look at it. But you, audience, in knowing the milk of scripture and in having the Holy Spirit reveal the meat of scripture, prepares you to do the will of our Lord God through his Son, Jesus Christ, in your generation. Chris?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just seeing now, you know, this thing's happening. You know, they're putting a pyramid on they're finishing up the pyramid on the back of your dollar bill. And you know, I make the rounds and hear what people are saying. I've kind of transitioned now because I know it's here. I'm not like watching for when it's going to start. This thing is it's really starting to really get going. You know, physically and spiritually. And you know, I listen to a guy, you know, I go over to Dr. Stan every week and, you know, grab a couple shows off of there. And, you know, these poor guys are just so, they just love Israel so much. And they're watching. You know, I listen to Barry Shamish on Dr. Stan. And, you know, these guys are just, their hope is just crumbling because they know how evil Israel is. And they know what they're doing. And, like, you know, the news this week that Barry picked up on was that Israel is paying mercenaries in Libya, and you know, he's just so, because he loves Israel, because that's his hometown, you know, it's home. And you know, we have to look at it through those eyes, that these are people who are just like us.
Yep.
And you know, but it's crumbling, you know, their hope, but they still just can't quite put it together about what's taking place. You know, it's just sad. You know, poor Dr. Stan. You know, I love him. I really do. But he's deceived. You know, he's caught in the Christian Zionist mentality, and he just can't seem to break free of it, and he just can't quite understand it. You know, but I'm just really believing that.
Well,
the whole
understanding, and we've, you know, I don't know how many times we've gone over this, and I just feel one of the most important things to know is who is Israel. If you don't know who Israel is, you're going to be confused.
Right.
That's just very key.
And that's the level of evil that we're talking about. It's because Satan is so evil that he has stolen the identity of Israel. He's, you know, the identity of Israel is the church, is God's people. And now he has God's people supporting him.
Right.
And this is why it's so evil. Sorry.
It's the one time. It's the one time in the New Testament, the Israel of God. And if you read it in context of that chapter, Israel of God, and I'm going to look it up right now. It's only one time in the whole Bible. You know, God of Israel is 450 times in Scripture. It has a different meaning. But Israel of God is only one time in the whole Bible. And it's in, looking right here, right now, Galatians 6:16. There it is. Go read Galatians chapter 6. Read the verses very carefully, preceding 16. And you will find out who the Israel of God is. The Israel of God are those that walk in Jesus Christ. That's the Israel of God. It's only one time in the whole Bible. It's in Galatians 6:16.
And see, you know, I know that God did this intentionally. He did make this tricky. He made it tricky.
He did. Just like
he wants us to work for it.
It's only one time, like in that, you know, maybe it's in another place too. Well, we've discussed so many times on Romans 2:28 and 9. It does. It is tricky. You're right.
But it's because his sheep hear his voice.
Its deception is the tool. You've said it so many times.
Yeah, and his sheep, want the truth and they look for it, and God gives it to them. But it's just not out there for everybody. That's why he wouldn't let John write what he saw, because it would have been just he saw everything. And, God's kept it this way for his purpose, and this is where we are today, encouraging you folks to find yourself in this, in God's plan. What an amazing thing when God reveals his secret to you. And he lets you in on his plan. He just puts his arm around you and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to show you what I'm up to here. These guys, people are so confused right now, but let me show you what I'm doing. And just the utter fact that he is using his very house to carry out his judgment with the way he's got these deceived dominionists, with their military mindset fomented into this lather out there right now, and we're learning about it thanks to Sue and Randy with what they've done, and it's what a blessing having Randy with us tonight and sharing all that with us.
Yes, it was because,
we've been picking up on this, for years now. I mean, I've gotten on this third day studies 2 years ago. Not even 2 years. I think it's only been about, a year and 9 months for me. But, I just picked up on it. It's, I couldn't get enough of it. And I just studied and studied and studied, listening to these shows. And this is all what they've been warning us about, that God's very church will turn against itself. And that, the serpents and scorpions come against the multitude in the church. And then tonight, before the show, I get the email announcing it. The Elijah List, Bob Jones, one of the big-time NAR guys, is announcing the coming civil war in the church. And, these people don't realize what side of the plumb line they're on, though. It's going to be them against the remnant. That's the problem. They're just so deceived. And it's going to be those pesky remnants that they must take out of the way, so they can continue on with what they believe is God's plan, because they think that they're doing God's service. But this stuff is all just coming in. It's just right here. It's all scripted. And the Lord shared it with us because he has kept it veiled from those who love not the truth. They're turned over to strong delusion. And now the strong delusion has gotten so bad. The lump is so leavened. And, here we are, folks. It's just so amazing that it's here right now. Right now.
Audience,
right now, right.
Anything else, Chris?
No.
Oh, boy. I mean, that's...
Well, you did send that video out that was very eye-opening this week.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that on the show tonight, because that was my theme for tonight. I think this is the material that people... that we have to really understand. And it takes some work. It's going to take some work because this last video that's out there, it came out of Russia. Very interesting. I mean, it could be condensed probably into half the time that it's in. But the guy just went into the utmost detail of this. And what this is, it's witchcraft. He traces the passing of this quote unquote anointing that is now just fomented into the. This sect of the church. Oh yeah, and that was another thing I wanted to talk about. When we were talking, I sent you guys that email out earlier about the three unclean spirits and the white horse, red horse, black horse. And, you know, we see so clearly.
There's so many layers of it, right.
The three distinct apostate movements. So, you know, we see the Rick Warren purpose-driven movement. We see the Rick Joyner New Apostolic movement. And we see the John Hagee Christian Zionist movement. And, you know, we can really identify, these three movements distinctly with these, the white horse, red horse, black horse. You know, and then, you know, where they're all morphed into the final pale horse religion, because that's what this is. It's the pale horse religion.
And, you know, the Lord showed me something this week, and I'm going to talk about 30 seconds on it and let it go. But this all started, was all put together, this piece of clay, in about 1883. And the loudest sound ever heard to human ears around the world was Krakatoa. And you had the joining of all three of them. You had Westcott and Hort. You had Darby. And you had
Schofield.
Right there in 1883.
All in that same time.
And now that shockwave went around the world seven times. It was heard as far as 2,800 miles away in some places. Tsunamis were 150 feet high. I just think the loudest sound in the world had to have a meaning. And we're seeing the spiritual tsunami waves of that now, of all those three guys put together. We're seeing that what you're talking about, the Dominionists, the huge Zionists, the spiritual tsunami of Zionism hitting, the spiritual tsunami of raising up the great king of the South, final time here. We had two world wars after that that had played into this. I really think that Krakatoa was a signature.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
It was a falling away of the church. You know, really, that was that's when it all, we know there was precursors to it, but that's when, you know, Herzl came out of that. Everything started to move at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, the Federal Reserve financed the thing. And, it's just amazing how it all, in the last 100 years.
One more piece of information on that. You know, here's your number four, tribulation trials. That thing exploded four times. It was about 6:30 in the morning, 7:45, 8:30. And the last and the greatest explosion was at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And it was literally heard 2,000 miles away, and in one place 2,800 miles away.
And audience, the basic tenet for all this is it is of the Lord's will. And as we give you the truth of Scripture, you're seeing a manifestation pretty much on all levels of flesh merging together, mingling. We'll call it mingling. In terms of the world's great religions, in terms of different factions of, let's say, like-mindedness that is not in this gospel. And they are on the other side of the plumb line. And you, audience, you need to be aware of Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Audience, the principalities that you're dealing with you have to take a view that they are trespassing and they are run amok as the keepers of the vineyard, and they have killed everybody that came to reconcile that vineyard for the owner of the vineyard. That is happening now. They are the darkness. And it's shady. It's dark. And they are of darkness. And they are running this world right now. And they are in wickedness. And that's plots, that's sins, that's iniquity.
Isn't that what they did to the 10 brothers when they threw Joseph in the pit?
Yes. Another example, audience.
Betrayed by your brothers.
Yep.
No. I know that one.
And I think these people are a lot, you know, Joseph's brothers wound up repenting and you know. And,
yeah.
But these people are a lot more wicked.
Well, we can't give up because we are really called to, you know, our brokenness, our humility, you know, our forgiveness, the deep, deep forgiveness that we saw with Stephen as he was stoned.
Never forget the story of Paul. That's what I say. Never forget the story of Paul because Paul was about as dark as terror you could be.
Absolute repentance, audience, and salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. For you, audience, who do not know the meat of Scripture in this, principalities, there is a war in the spirit, raging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's raging, and it'll continue to get worse and worse. And people will be coming out, calling on our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will come and sup with you. You have to understand on one level that you are armed in the armor of light, but you have another that is an example in this spiritual fight. And that's from Jude 1:9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, they're coming out with Nephilim, and they're coming out with every possible deception in the world, fleshly. And you have an angel of the Lord explaining what the Lord would have him do, and that's let the Lord rebuke thee.
Yes.
You cannot go into some fleshly battle that you think you're having and believe that you're doing anything. This battle is of the Lord. And when you look at the railing and accusations, you could say the whole world lies in wickedness. But it is to the captives that this has been graced. If it be the Lord's will that you are to come out of the church and be doing the Lord's will in the time of tribulation, there can be no greater calling. This is the good news, audience. Because in your heart, in the hidden place, the Lord knows you. And he's preparing you. And he's telling you that, you know, you have to witness this. You have to study your gospel. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I would, I study to show thyself approved. You know, I sent a little note to my daughter this week, and that's what I told her. You know, I'm just so proud of her that she's, she says, "I've been reading my Bible, Daddy," and I just, you know, wanted to affirm her in that because she's, you know, I told her she's doing God's will because that's what he wants you to do. You know, to have the word hidden in our heart so that when these situations come upon us, you know, we've got the word ready, you know, the sword ready to come against the fiery darts of the devil, because this is what Jesus always did. You know, he always said, "It is written," you know, "It is written." And that's what we have to do. We have to think that way because we can't rely on our own understanding. And especially now because, you know, we can't even imagine navigating through these perilous times that we're in and that are going to just keep getting darker and darker because, you know, this stuff is on us. And, you know, we have to look at what happened with Daniel, you know, and as far as, you know, how he was protected in the fiery furnace, you know, and we see the fiery furnace is a complete metaphor of the tribulation. And, hey, you know, I've got some food in my basement, and I'm getting prepared, but, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord, you know, I'm just, abiding in him, and abiding in the truth, and that's my security, you know, that's my insurance, and, hey, I had a rough weekend this weekend, you know, this tsunami, and this NAR thing, you know, because I'm in the thick of this NAR thing. And I got one of these churches, these Bethel Redding, splinter churches that started in my community here. And I've got dear friends in this thing, you know, people I love, and they're caught in this thing. And,
oh, that's a poison pill, that thing.
And I sent out some emails, and just, you know, two good friends, I just, you know, just begged them to take me seriously and to study this. You know, set aside a couple hours you can concentrate on what I'm saying. And, you know, oh, I just pray that, you know, I get through to somebody, because this thing is in our face. And I mean, I'm talking kids, people we love are in this thing. And they just don't see what's happening, because Satan's deception is just so over the top. You know, people have no idea what he's capable of.
And it is you, audience, who is in the meat of Scripture serving our Lord Jesus Christ. You can free the captives.
That's what we're doing.
You can bring the truth. In closing, I'd like to recount Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That is you, audience, in the repentance and this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will. Revelations 12:7. And there was war in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. There are supernatural events going on, audience. There are fleshly events going on. Abide in our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay on this side of the plumb line. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
Sun's up. Looks okay. The world survives into another day. And I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. About the lions at the door, they weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, waves coming through, you being me and I'll be you together in eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Where it smells so sweet, or down in the valley where the river used to be, I got my mind on eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me, and I'm wondering where the lions are.